Welcome to Educator Forever, where we empower teachers to innovate education. Join us each week to hear stories of teachers expanding their impact beyond the classroom and explore ways to reimagine teaching and learning.
Rob Owen is the founder of Move to Focus. With over 21 years as a school principal, author, and classroom educator, Rob deeply observed and personally felt the significant stress and burnout that plague the education world. After using both mindfulness and Tai Chi himself, Rob started to introduce these practices to students. And now he started Move to Focus, which supports educators to use Tai Chi and Qigong in their classrooms. It's more than a program. It's a philosophy, transforming adversity into opportunity and empowering both educators and students to turn challenges into teachable moments. Welcome, Rob. So nice to have you here.
Oh, nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
So in whatever direction you'd like to take this question, I would like you to tell us about your journey as an educator.
Well, that's a big one. Started back, I don't know if I want to date myself, but the late 90s. And I was playing drums. So I'm a drummer, I'm a musician, and have been for years. And I had a girlfriend at the time, and she said, hey, I want to learn how to play the drums. I'm like, all right. And so we got on the drum kit, started playing, and she said, you're a great teacher. You should teach my friend. So long story short, I started teaching drums. And then after that, I started going to junior college and took a class in education and was pretty excited about that. And then started working at a summer school, and the summer school required me to teach like one little reading course or something for little people. It was probably third, fourth grade. And I went up there and started teaching, and the principal's like, hey, do you want a job? And I was like, I haven't even finished my BA degree. And she's like, how about we just bring you on part-time? I'm like, okay, cool. Let's do that. So I just kept teaching part-time there as I get my BA degree. And then long story short, they just hired me full-time. And that was, first teaching job was 1999. So it's been a while. And yeah, that's a story of my teaching journey.
That's awesome. I love that. And I love that starting from the drums too.
Like, yeah, it all started from music. Imagine that. I know. Go figure, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. So then since you've been a classroom teacher, you know, what have you taught and kind of where did you go from there? I mean, I know that you've done various other things in addition to classroom teaching.
For sure. So I started teaching. Well, I was brought in as a music teacher and PE and social studies for many years. And then since then, I mean, I've taught it all pretty much from first to high school. Even did a little bit of college lecturing. But in my earlier times, it was on the PE field where I started to kind of bring in a little bit of mindful movement. I had been studying Shaolin Kung Fu for years, a little bit of Wing Chun. Those are both Chinese martial arts, and a little bit of Tai Chi and Qigong. And so we'd be on the field and I'd start doing the exercises with the kids that I would be doing in class, you know, and the kids really liked it. And then that kind of morphed into an after-school kids Kung Fu. And then that kind of morphed into, you know, it just started growing. But most of my practices in school have been mostly academic. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. And I know that with your interest in Tai Chi and Qigong, like you've started Move to Focus. So can you tell us about that and how that came about?
Yeah. Yeah. So that kind of coattails on the last one is that I started teaching kids Kung Fu probably like 15 years ago or something like that, just basic stuff. And then we would open it up with kind of some mellow movement. And then one of the parents said, hey, Rob, my kid was showing me this movement and what are you doing? Like, he really likes it. And so it's just Tai Chi, you know, just something I'm teaching the kids. And so I ended up opening the PTA meetings and the parent gatherings with Tai Chi and Qigong. So I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. Fast forward about 10 years, currently working at a school that emphasizes neurodiverse children. So, you know, dyslexia, dyscalculia, ADHD, all the above. And I was given a group of, we have smaller classes because the kids need a little bit more attention. So I was given a group of 10 boys in eighth grade. And probably 7 out of 10 were hyperactive ADHD. And it was a challenge. So I said, okay, now's the time, Rob. We're going to make this happen. So every morning I take them out on the courtyard and we would start doing mindful movement. I started with just the same sequence, concrete, every single time, training their bodies first, right? From the outside in. So I train how do they move their bodies, just slowing them down, moving mechanically, moving with breath. I would usually mix in a little bit of martial arts stuff because they like that. But I would slow it down, and then the faculty would see what we're doing, and they would slowly kind of trickle in and end up behind the boys doing it with us. And they're like, hey, I want to learn this stuff. And I'm like, well, cool, I want to teach it. And so the principal, she kind of hit me up. She's like, hey, would you be interested in like offering this for like, because we already had a little bit of mindfulness in our school. But this is about mindful movement, right? Not just necessarily sitting, but being mindful as you practice the art. And, I said, sure. Yeah, let's do it. So they kind of sectioned off parts of the day where the kids could go or the faculty could go and I could just do it with them. And then, well, this year and last year, now I'm teaching it, as a class, which is super cool. And, it's really, you know, mindfulness is pretty accepted in the mainstream. When I started, it wasn't. It was like, what is that kind of woo-woo stuff? but then kind of like once probably Jon Kabat-Zinn came in and kind of created a science out of it, it was more accepted and the research started to come in. I think there's more than 500 studies, I think, right now around the benefits of it. I started practicing it and then it turned into a class. And after it turned into a class, it was like, I think that I should start like bringing this out to the greater, you know, the greater population. And well, I took some of your courses, Lily, which were absolutely amazing and very helpful, by the way. And yeah, I started building with the website and, you know, gathering testimonials and that whole thing. And I just went with the name Move to Focus. And it is been an amazing kind of passion project that I'm kind of balancing with my current day job as a teacher. I've been able to go part-time now with my teaching and moving into Move to Focus, you know, in a greater capacity. So yeah, it's been a wonderful thing and it's still totally unfolding. I'm just getting my Instagram going. I mean, I'm not a big guy on social media, but I, you know, you got to play the game. So I just got that going and some emails are going out and yeah.
That's awesome. I love hearing how it kind of organically unfolded, you know, seriously, from the teachers. Like, I love that story of the teachers coming in and be like, I want to do this too.
Yeah.
And then you paying attention to it. And just that moment of you being like, you want to learn it? I want to teach it. Like, let's do it.
Yeah. And, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And just like seeing it unfold. I love now how you've been able to kind of integrated into your teaching life, you know, both teaching classes at your school, but also, you know, going part-time and doing this part-time. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested in seeing, and I'm excited to see where it'll evolve and grow to next. So can you tell us a little bit about the offerings of Move to Focus?
Yeah. Yeah. So I do one-on-one coaching. So, you know, you can hit me up at info@movetofocus.com. It's just move and the number 2 focus. .com. So I do individual coaching, and that's like when teachers or others, I have a therapist and I'm working with 2 who works with her clients, and I just kind of build a practice for you in the morning. So it's anywhere like a 5-minute practice, 7-minute practice, and then we can go up to a 20-minute. So I kind of teach the teachers to have their own practice first, right? And then they can bring that in the classroom. And then there's methods in how you bring it to the classroom. So one-to-one coaching. And then I have, I do faculty training for school-wide. So I'm hired at a school, you know, you show up in the cafeteria and the teachers are there and you go through your spiel, depending on what the school needs. And then I have a 3-hour course, a weekend course that'll be out in November, which will be very interactive. So it'll be a mixture of, you know, facts about the needs of this in the classroom and for children and for humans in general. And then it goes into integration how to bring these movements into the classroom. So that 3-hour course will be happening, I think, late November. I haven't nailed a date down yet.
Wonderful. I love that array of offerings. That sounds very exciting and supportive, and people can come in individually or with their school and get support there. And I realize I probably should have asked this question first, but can you explain what is Tai Chi and Qigong for people who might not know?
Oh boy, that's kind of a big question. I would start with, well, Tai Chi fundamentally is a martial art. Qigong started about 4,000 years ago, right around the time of yoga. So Qigong is kind of like the mother of it. So think Qigong and yoga; those are kind of synonymous. One in China, one in yoga, or one in India. And Tai Chi came around anywhere between 300 and 700 years ago. I like to say around 5 to 7. There's a bunch of stuff I can go into. I'm not going to right now. So it's a mindful practice, a mindful movement practice. So Qigong is, think of it as a single movement that you would practice maybe 3, 5, 8 times in a row. And you're moving in a slow, fluid way that your mind, your intent is connected to your breath, which is connected to your movement. So when you connect all three of those together and you slow it all down, you begin to feel a little bit more calm, obviously, right? But so Qigong will just be one movement you just repeat over and over, usually not too much stepping or moving around. Tai Chi has Qigong in it, right? Because you're being mindful and you're moving breath. But what's happening is you're doing, let's say you would start with like the opening pose, and then you'd go to wild horse parts its mane, then you would go to brush knee, then you'd go to crane, then you'd go to single whip. It's like a sequence of multiple movements that you have to kind of remember. And then eventually the body will just kind of take over. So after some time doing the Tai Chi sequence, there's really no mind. You know, when you look at some of the master levels, their bodies just move to that shape. And there's more steps involved, if that makes sense. So the Qigong is more stationary, and the same thing kind of happens. And Tai Chi is, you'll be moving more, and there will be changes in the sequence of movements. And also, Tai Chi can have a martial intent as well. While Qigong in general won't have that kind of thing. Qigong is, there's medical Qigong, and then there's the only martial Qigong is like what they call iron shirt training. It's where you develop energy in your body that could be used for like a defense of some kind, but there's not necessarily self-defense moves, where you'll see in Tai Chi, someone will be moving really slow, but a lot of times what they're actually doing, if you sped it up, it's a martial art movement. So hope that all made sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It's super intriguing and interesting to hear it broken down like that.
Cool.
And do you have a suggestion of teachers who might want to use some of these practices in their classroom? Like, how could they get started? And also, what benefits might they expect to see with their students?
Yeah, so benefits, I would definitely say calm, relaxed, more mind-body connection. Tons of research about the benefits around stress, anxiety, depression, hyperactivity, impulsivity. I mean, the list goes on. There's a ton of research. You just got to dig in. It's a little bit easier to get the research in the yoga. It's a little bit more popular these days. But there's a bunch of benefits. You'll see in the classroom, the children will, some of them will actually want it depending on what age is. But I'm doing a class that has 3rd to 5th graders in there. And if I miss one movement in the sequence, Mr. Owen, well, you forgot blank. And I'm like, oh, sorry about that. So recently I've been throwing curveballs. I'll miss one and that same, hey, I think you missed one. So you'll see all the benefits of that. And most recently it's been really popular for folks who are working with kids and adults with behaviors that demonstrate, kind of ADHD kind of behaviors. Where it starts is someone would contact me, hopefully a teacher or an administrator, and I can talk to them. like a discovery call or whatever, and just see what they're looking for. What it usually looks like, for all you teachers out there, there's probably a lot of teachers on the podcast, right?
I would say pretty much entirely.
Okay. So teacher talk. So kids line up right before class. You get the line of kids, you know, they're whatever grade you're working with. They're holding their backpacks. They're blah, 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 blah. You make eye contact with each one. How you doing? You give them the high five, or you have them relate to their emotional level with a 1 through 5 on their hand, or they give you a color or whatever. You do that early morning check-in. They line up. They walk in quietly. They sit down. The first time you introduce it is you walk in front of the class and you say, hey guys, I got this cool new thing I learned. I'm wondering if you just stand up for a second. We're going to move in a certain way, and I just want you to follow along. And you just have them do it like 3 times. If you're working with youngers, a little people, you know, I start mentioning like things like Kung Fu Panda or like Avatar. You're like, hey, have you seen like Aang like throw fire and do the water bending? Okay, we're going to do something like that today. And they get stoked, right? So you can introduce it like that. But if they're, you know, the little bit older, you know, middle school, you might get some grunts and groans, but start with like 3 times of the same movement. I introduce like there's a couple basic movements. If you go to teacherstress.coach, I'll run you through a little stress test and you'll get some free exercises on a video sequence I give out on that website. And you can just start with those. And you just do them like 3 times with the kids and have them sit down and then just carry on. And the next day you're like, hey, we're going to do that one more thing. And then you add on one more exercise. And you kind of build from there. Ideally you do it in the morning. And then maybe after the first break, I do it in classes, but if you start in the morning, you do it once. And then maybe after lunch, when the kids are kind of whacked after they eat, or they probably eat too much sugar or whatever, you just have them calm down. And so many times, I can't tell you how many times doing it after lunch and you just start seeing the yawns. their energy was out. And so I always tell the kids like, okay, we're going to have our energy outward at the recess time. You're going to be playing football, tag, whatever. That's energy out. So when we do our practice here, the energy goes in, right? So it's the difference is instead of running around and exerting energy, it's actually bringing it back in and refining it, mm-hmm. right? And that's what these movements do. They bring the energy back in to refine it. And it's so funny to watch the little people. They'll just start yawning, but some of them want to be polite. So they're like trying to hold their mouth. It's like, dude, it's cool. You can yawn. Like that's a totally, you're just chill. And then after lunch is a good time to do it too as well. Yeah.
That's great. I love that. And I think it's like, it's so great to see kids have that awareness too, yeah. of the energy in, energy out, and just how it feels to be in a more calm space in your body and aware of like how the energy affects you and how, you know, you affect the energy.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So I know you mentioned that mindfulness, you know, is more popular in schools and yoga. Why do you think Tai Chi and Qigong maybe are not as at that level yet?
Yeah. So there's a couple ideas about that. Mine is that I think there's two of the main ones, what I think is one, yoga just kind of has more marketing and has for 20 years. I think there's just more, like the ideal wellness person on any media outlet or whatever, you're going to see this person sitting cross leg, you know, in their, you know, what they have their mudra, they might have their yoga outfit on. That's like the icon of wellness for some reason. And then, oh, it's yoga. And then that term yoga, you know, even though it's a Sanskrit word and it's, you know, it seems to just catch. So I think it has partially to do with that. I think it also has to do with a perceived complexity of Tai Chi, compared to yoga. Like a lot of people see yoga as just like, oh, you just sit down and you stretch and then you're done. But yoga is actually, I know a lot of yoga people and I love yoga and it's amazing. It just wasn't my path, but I'm totally down. It's not easy. Like when you start getting more advanced, it's really not easy. It might look easier. Right. But really what's going on, it's not for all you advanced yoga people, you know, it's not. And a lot of times it'll have to do, whether it be like strength based, not easy, or core based, not easy. Or, if you're doing Bikram or whatever, you know, Tai Chi can be perceived as more complex. But there's simpler ways to do it. Qigong in general depending on what kind of Qigong, there's lots of kinds of Qigong. It's pretty simple in its movements. But yeah, I think there's like a perceived complexity in Tai Chi compared to yoga. And I think the marketing aspect of it is huge. But I think that the Tai Chi and the Kung Fu are starting to come up slowly as in an acceptable way to bring about like mental clarity, calm, mental health in general. It's like 1 in 4 people claim mental health issues these days. Like there's so many studies. And so everyone's kind of looking around and not sure if they want to start popping pills. And they're like, well, what can I do besides diet and like run around the block? You know? But I just think that yoga has a lot more followers in its building. And there's a couple companies out there that are doing amazing stuff and they bring yoga in schools. And so I'm doing a similar thing. They've been doing a lot longer than I have and they're very successful and they're doing a wonderful thing. I have a few teacher friends who are certified in it. But yeah, I would go with the perceived complexity of Tai Chi and then the, and just kind of the overall marketing is stronger in yoga right now. Yeah.
Sure. That makes sense. So then thinking about starting your own business, I'd love to hear what you've learned about yourself or are learning about yourself through the process.
Yeah. So it started out as a passion project. What I'm learning is kind of the mechanics of it, right? Which is not my strong point. Like I'm a teacher, songwriter, and martial artist, you know? So that's my passion. It's just what I do. But to look at like the mechanics of like building a website, doing social media, scaling, proper copy, you know, that kind of stuff, like looking at it in that perspective, I'm learning a lot because it's more just not something I just wake up and I do. Like I just wake up and do my morning practice and then I get to share it and I'm done. This is like, I'm trying to think like, okay, well, how can I actually get this to people, you know, or just like, what do I click on this when I, you know, or should I get a business coach or like all these other things? So I would say more the mechanics of the thing that has challenged me to look at this entity that I call Move to Focus in kind of different ways. And it's almost slowly become, strangely enough, it's like writing a song. It's like, you're in the song, you're writing the song. And when you're done with the song and you record it, it's like out there, mm-hmm. You know, it's like everyone else is now. And it's the same thing with Move to Focus. It's like, okay, I'm building this thing and I just do my thing. And all of a sudden you build the website and then you get it out there and you're like, wait, this is kind of like a baby. You know what I mean? It's like an entity in and of itself. So that's been an interesting part of the journey as well.
I totally relate. I mean, I think it's interesting thinking about how it's like even doing things that are your passion, right? Yep. Not all of it is going to feel like it's your passion or something that's like you're naturally inclined to do. And so I think it's like all the steps, like I think about that with like writing. Like I love writing, but sometimes I don't love the actual task of writing. Like it's
painful. Right. You're like, I just want to get this out right now, but now I got to actually do it.
I have to do it. And like, I don't know, you know, it takes longer, it's frustrating or all the things. So I think thinking about, even if it's something that you're passionate about, there are going to be times that feel hard and like learning through the process and thinking about the bigger why, I think can be grounding throughout them.
Oh yes. That's probably one of my favorite words. I bet it's one of yours too.
Definitely. <You know? laughs> So thinking about for educators who might want to start their own business, do something outside of the classroom, maybe take one of their passions and move it out into the world, what advice would you give them?
Well, I would say do it. Don't hesitate, because once you hesitate, then you're gonna be like, but what if, you know, the inner critic part of you is just gonna take over. If you just start writing it down or just start talking about it with a friend, like it'll start to kind of take its form. But it's so important. I mean, not to get too philosophical here. We don't have too much time left, but just to say that, like, you know, it's like Joseph Campbell, you know, like follow your bliss, right? I mean, not to be cliche, but love the guy. It's like, if you have that inside of you, there's no reason why you should not share it. And then that passion will become your vehicle to a deeper sense of self, right? Or non-self, depending on how you're looking at it. So that is so important. And it, even if it's something small, like, you know, like, oh, cool, I created these new pencils for the classroom, but I really like doing it. Then do it, mm-hmm. you know, and speak to people who've done it before. And there's tons of models, right? So find someone who's doing it in a similar way and use that, like watch videos, you know, mm-hmm. how do you get to that point? Okay. From A to B, I want to make this cool pencil. If you just slowly keep that passion going and learning, you'll find a new part of yourself that will be unleashed and you'll just keep, it'll keep growing and then you'll keep growing. I think it's really important to act on your passions. Especially if you're talking about purpose and meaning in your life, if that's pushed and repressed downward, we all know what happens there. Just make it happen. And sometimes some of us need help talking to others to make it happen, mm-hmm. to kind of like give you a little shove. So find that person to do that, you know?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I love the immediate answer of like, just do it. You know, and do it imperfectly and like embrace the process of learning. Yeah. And I love all the examples you shared too, that you can have that agency and be like, hey, I might not even know how to make a pencil, but like somebody else does. Who is that person?
Who
how
is
can
it?
I find out? Yep. And I think that we often have things that we're like, oh, someday we'll do this. Or maybe, you know, it's like, well, maybe today. You don't have to quit your job tomorrow, but like mm-hmm. you could explore it. You could start watching those videos. You could start talking to people about it and sharing that you want to do it, but don't ignore it. You know, go after the things that make you happy.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that imperfection part is huge in most of us humans, at least mm-hmm. most of them that I met, the imperfection thing and the inner critic part. Those two will just get the best of you. And I've learned years ago just to like make friends with them. I'm a big fan of Thich Nhat Hanh, if everyone's ever heard of Thich Nhat Hanh. And he said the same thing with his fear. So, you know, he used to have a lot of fear, and he would just stop for a second his meditation and he would feel his fear and he would say, hello, my fear. How are you today? And he would greet his fear. Once you greet it, it's no longer bigger than you. It becomes part of you. And slowly it gets smaller and smaller. So you have your fear and it doesn't have you.
It's so powerful.
It's so powerful. And it's the same with perfectionism. You know, mm-hmm. like you can, of course, the inner critic, we got to have, it's actually not a bad thing as long as he or she or it doesn't take over. But I will literally can feel like this motivation, like Rob, you're lagging. But there's all these different parts talking. And if I just sit down for a second and close my eyes and just like talk to that critic, just be like, you know, whatever it is, making friends with it instead of like fighting against it, it seems to become more bearable. And then you kind of know that part. You can kind of recognize it. Yeah, that's cool. I'm glad you're there, but I'm going to go do this for now and we can talk later.
I think that making friends is so key too, because it's like our natural inclination can be to say like, go away. Like, I don't like you. Right? Or to fight against it or to have some judgment of like that, even that this inner critic exists or why am I even feeling this? Yeah. And so I think it's normalizing that we all have this as part of us. Make friends with it and then find your way through it. You know, don't wait for it to go away.
Great. Right. Yep.
Well, Rob, it's been so amazing talking with you and hearing more about what you're up to. Can you tell people how they can connect with you?
Yeah. So you can go to movetofocus.com. That's with the number 2. Or you can go to teacherstress.coach and you can get some free mindful movement there. You can also just email me at info@movetofocus.com.
Wonderful. And we'll put all the links in the show notes as well. Thanks so much.
Awesome. All right. Thank you.
Ready to find rewarding, impactful work in the education world? Take our free quiz to discover your next right career step. Will you be a curriculum developer, an education consultant, instructional coach? The list of possibilities goes on and on. Take the quiz to find out the best fit for you at educatorforever.com/quiz. You'll also receive customized resources to kickstart your dream career and life.